All right. Hello and welcome to another edition of Students Era podcast. My name is Jacob, and today we have Fatima Shittu. Fatima, thank you for joining us.
Hi. It's a privilege, I suppose.
Much appreciated. All right. Could you start by telling the audience just a little bit about yourself?
So like Jacob said, I am Fatima and I am a student. I go to University of Birmingham, Dubai. I study economics and I'm a YouTuber. But not like an influencer, I suppose. I'm not nowhere near there yet. And I write.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. So maybe let's just start from the beginning. So, Dubai is trying, or just the UAE in general, is trying to become like a hub for education and stuff. What was it that drew you to study at in Dubai at University of Birmingham?
Well, I moved to England from Nigeria at the age of 11. So I've been in England ever since, like, whatever, pre-adolescence, I suppose, like pre-pubescent child, just by herself, eating fish and chips and tea, whatever. Anyway, and then finished A-levels and everything, went on a gap year, and decided to take another gap year. And by the time I was done with my gap years, I just wasn't really into staying in England anymore. Like, I just wanted to learn, go to another country, learn other cultures and all of that sort of cliche stuff, you know, how eat, pray, love goes, you know, where you're like, oh, you find yourself, all that stuff. So I was like, you know what, I'm tired of staying in England. So I decided to take my university up on their scholarship to start at their Dubai campus. There isn't some deep, meaningful reason behind it. Everyone always finds it weird that I moved from England to this place. It's usually the other way around. And I'm like, you guys have no idea how nice it is to have sun every day.
All right, right. I can understand. What year was it that you moved, made the transition from England to UAE?
Last year, actually.
So relatively recently. Okay. Great. And as far as making the adjustment, was there any tough hurdles that you had to overcome?
I suppose it's just the social norms, because in England, you've got extreme freedom in it. You've got like bare liberties and everything. And then obviously here it's an Islamic country. There are certain things you can't do, certain ways you can't dress. And I suppose things are just a lot bougier here. And just the policing of things is good, obviously, for the people. You know, they're secured, but it's just different from how things were done in the Western world, I suppose.
Right. Okay, that's understandable. So coming here, when you decided to pursue economics, did you kind of have that idea that you wanted to do that for a while, or was it more of like you found it like during your gap year?
I suppose my gap year did cement the idea of doing economics, because to be honest, I just said I'm a YouTuber and I write and I'm really keen on maths. So I decided that the best thing for me to do is just to study a course that is grounded in everything. And economics was sort of the most, you know, relevant thing I could say would continue to last throughout time. And just apart from creativity, I just think econ is a way to merge in law, creativity, psychology, maths and everything. That's why I decided to study it, because honestly, I cannot say for sure that I have a particular career in mind that I want to delve into yet, but econ is going to give me an opportunity to sort of just play around.
Yeah. Figure out what's best for you. Absolutely. Okay, that makes sense. Obviously, like with you having a lot of passions and different initiatives that you have on the side, how do you manage your time between studies, like going into the semester? Like how have you managed your time in the past, and like what type of things do you want to do in the future to, you know, manage your schoolwork with, you know, your YouTube channel and your blog?
Okay, so I'm the president of our student association at my university,
In your first year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, wow. Okay, congratulations. That's heavy.
Thanks. I'd say the trick about managing your time is, I'm not going to lie to you, Law, you have to let go of one thing that should be normal in your life. So I find that if you want to remain social, if you want to remain, you know, up to par academically, if you want to remain really high with your extracurricular qualities, you sort of have to let go of sleep, which is what I had to do. So usually I find that some people would sleep for 8 hours, 7 hours, but I didn't have the opportunity to do that. I had to sleep for like 6 hours. But it just means during the weekends, sometimes I just crash, or I just carry on with coffee. But okay. I always like tips and tricks would be priorities and compartmentalization. So you just have to explain to yourself what needs emergent care and what needs to like prioritize, blah, blah, blah. And it's very like boring. It's not, I don't really, there isn't some sort of magic thing that I do.
Right. So you can't romanticize all of the.
I just want to also say, like, there's one big thing when I moved to Dubai, and I was like, this country is very nice. They have a lot of restaurants here, and the food is very nice. Mm-hmm. The flavors is different from British flavors. So I was like, interesting. So many options, you know. I have to go to the gym to watch my waistline, or whatever.
Right. That's understandable. Okay. So it seems like you really enjoyed yourself. And did you find, like, what about your YouTube channel? Like, how long have you been doing that for now?
So obviously my friends had been telling me for a while to start YouTube, and I just sort of kept on pushing it because I didn't see myself as a YouTuber per se. And the reason why I actually started it was because a lot of the people that wanted to read my stuff, they said they couldn't possibly read things like that every single week because it's just a little bit too deep for them. So, you know, I listened and I was like, okay, you know what, I'll just start a YouTube channel and talk about the same thing but on a lighter note. So I actually didn't start my YouTube channel until April because quarantine obviously gave me more time to sort of plan everything properly, and I didn't have as much schoolwork to do or as much heavy-handed student association things to do. So I was like, okay, you know, this is a good opportunity for me to start my YouTube channel and let's see where it goes from there.
Mm-hmm. How's the reaction been to it so far? I mean, just like being like, grow up in Nigeria and then live in the UK and then being in Dubai, like what, how's the response? Like, what's the most interesting comment or feedback that you've gotten so far?
I say, wow, that's a very good question. Basically, I started off with talking about things in my blog, which I still do. And on some occasions, I'd post things that are quite personal, so like vlogs and stuff. Mm. And it's been interesting to see what people actually think about me, because there was a video where I did a true or false scenario whereby I'd ask questions and then people would have to, someone on my channel would have to guess if it's true or false. And a lot of the audience members were like, yeah, they know I do a lot of stupid things. So I was like, wow. So you lot know I'm like this. I was like, you can't even give me the benefit of the doubt. They were like, no. So that was quite interesting. But what has been more interesting is getting people that live in Dubai watching my channel. Like, I didn't expect that. Obviously, I expected the audience that I created in England and Nigeria to sort of follow my channel, but then I didn't expect the domestic sort of welcome, I suppose.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, you never really know, like, when it comes to the content that you make, are you self-centered in a way where you decide, like, this is what I want to put out? Or are you more like, well, the audience kind of likes these type of videos, so let me kind of continue to make these type of videos?
Okay, so
how do you find the balance?
Yeah, the thing is, my YouTube mirrors my blog. So there was a time I wrote an article titled Friendship Imitates True Love. And I talk about what friendship means to me and what it should sort of, and I advised other people as to how friendship, how much they should value friendship and things like that. So I decided to do a YouTube video called How to Detect Fake Friends. So that went hand in hand with one another. And there was another thing, there was another piece titled Is Ambition a Fancy Term for Greed? And then I decided to do a YouTube video about the pressures of making it at the age of 20-something. So it's sort of like, if I talk about something on my blog, I'd definitely do a video about it, or something that requires a video to be done about it. However, I just started two new series, and it's called All About Me and All About Nigeria. And All About Me is more of like personal things that I will put, that I've started to put on my channel, because some people wanted the personal stuff. So it's like, in as much as I have creativity ownership on what I put on my channel, it's still wise for me, I suppose, to listen to what the audience are requesting for. So it's personal, as they said, but to some extent, it's not as personal as they would like it. So it's still like a compromise, I suppose. It's like, okay, I wouldn't really do, you know, really go into the nitty-gritty of my personal life, but I would give you a sort of overview of what I do in my personal life, if that makes sense.
It does. Like understanding the messages or the lessons that you've learned without going into the details of.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And as far as your blog goes, like, was that something that you started in your gap year?
Yeah, actually, I did start it my gap year. I was working at a law firm at the time, and my best friend has been telling me that, come on, just put your writing up there. And they convinced me to do it. And the first writing I put out there, people were very nice and, you know, responsive. So I was like, you know what, let's just start from live. And here we go. And that's how it started.
Okay, definitely. As far as inspiration, like what keeps you inspired to create? Or are there different ways that, like, people have inspired you to create in the past?
What keeps me inspired to create is people. You would be surprised to see how much goes on around you when you're just quiet and just looking about and observing things, inferring from people's attitudes, actions, behaviors. I mean, when I was in Nigeria, I had a lot of things to write about, because Nigerians, you know, they are just vibes. Nigerians are just vibes. Like, we just party and just eat and just, you know, go with the flow and make jokes. That's who we are. So but in as much as that is the nice side of us, there is also another side, which is you know, there's a lot of political disputes, economic problems, social issues. So I write about things that I ought to do something about, but I can't yet because I'm not educated enough to actually impose change. But that doesn't mean I can't bring awareness to it or highlight it, if that makes sense.
So, that makes perfect sense, yeah.
It's usually, if I see something, especially when it's something that just has to do with injustice, is that, okay, this is not meant to be happening, so let's write about why it's not meant to be happening, and let's sort of change our mindset. It's all of an abstract revolution thing that should be happening on my blog if you come on it. So if you have a certain mindset and you read an article, the hope and the aim is that you change your mindset to a more positive one, change it and see it from someone else's perspective. And then you go away from Fumilayo and then you come back again for more advice or just more of an outlook on how to see things. And then, you know, bring other people with you. That's the point.
Yeah, I think that's really profound because, like, especially like you touched on it about being in your early 20s and feeling almost like powerless to change certain things. But just the fact of using awareness and expression and think, seeing things from your perspective is still, you know, it's still doing something for the cause. So definitely. So as far as like looking into your future, I mean, you're saying there's still like a lot of gray areas. Are there any causes or any organizations or any like parts of the world that you feel drawn to? Like where's your headspace at now? Like moving forward?
Long term, I definitely see myself in Nigeria. But I'm moving back to England after my undergraduate. But I'm moving back to Nigeria long term because in as much as England is home, Nigeria is, they've got more of a moral duty, a sense of moral duty towards Nigeria than I do towards England.
Of course.
And my first, you know, intuition is to help Nigerians, make things better for Nigerians, give back to Nigerians, because at the moment I'm just taken away from them through capital flight. At the moment, so it's like, whatever I can do to improve and increase the welfare of the Nigerian people, I shall do it as I grow older. It's a very naive dream, but it's what it is.
Right. I mean, it fuels your journey. So, you know,
yeah.
That's what matters the most.
Back through education.
Okay. So you see education as a means to,
yeah.
Okay. How do you feel about education in general? Like maybe you could give us a little more insight about how education works in Nigeria and like how did you get accustomed to school in Nigeria versus the UK? Were there like any differences within the school structure?
Obviously, I can only speak about things from, you know, an odd number of years ago, but I can't sort of speak accurately about how things are presently. But in the end, I always say one thing. Education isn't just about learning the technicalities of mathematics and English and science. It does add to your individualism. It makes you know yourself. It makes you know oneself. And if you know yourself, then, you know, you can drive your intellect, your minds, and that helps you sort of navigate through when someone is trying to take advantage of you, exploit you. It helps you with voting. It helps you with jobs. It helps you with so many things. Knowledge is power. Yeah. And Sir Lannister would say power is power, but knowledge is power. However, say in Nigeria, I suppose the standard, the quality of education for the public school students isn't up to par. And I don't mean that in the sense that it should be, you know, shiny and glorious. I mean, it to be, but it's not even at that level. It's not even at an average level. So the reason why I'm so sort of passionate about it is because when I see younger people go to, you know, private schools and everything, like I did, and on the way to said schools, you see the less economically, lower income family members' children go to public schools as well. And it's, some of them are walking with tattered shoes and, you know, rough uniforms. And the others are in their, you know, Range Rovers, G-Wagons, in air conditioned cars and everything. And it's like, who gets to decide who in what condition? And so because of that, I was like, you know what, if this this shouldn't be happening. Education is a birth given right. So it shouldn't be reduced to the gamble or chances of, you know, wealth inequality. So that is why I sort of started looking more into education and, you know, want to ground myself in it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I'm a teacher, though. I don't know if I really like kids.
You'd be like the administrator that just stops in like ways and like, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not very patient, so I don't think so.
Okay, that's self-awareness. Now that's very important. I think what you talked about is super profound. Like there's always like a kind of a class divide, and they talk about how, you know, education is the great equalizer, but in so many countries, like, people are like, okay, you can get a public education, you can work your way up and pull yourself up by the bootstraps. But I'm sure in your understanding of economics probably ties into it about how institutional some of like the issues are. So I mean, going up, like, I always applaud people that are able to go inside the system and kind of change things from within, because it does take some degree of like real patience and being a realist towards certain things. So I think that's really profound. Yeah. That's super profound. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just said thank you.
Oh, okay. Did you have a favorite class or like a favorite teacher? Have you had someone that inspired you that like, okay, education definitely is, or has it been just like a family?
No, I mean, not, my parents are very big on education, but I did have a teacher that sort of changed my entire life. It's sort of just like before, like I just used to ride the wavelength of academia. Like, it's all right, I'll do well anyway. It's just a mini test. But then he was like, you know, you could do way better than this if you actually sat down and sort of assimilate what I've been teaching me in class and regurgitate that on paper. And I was like, oh, okay. So I tried it and I was like, oh shit, look at that.
Right.
And then I started off with sort of focusing more on education. But then I suppose to answer your bigger question, which is, what sort of inspired me to go through that route? I would just say it's my parents. There's something about the humility and empathy that they radiate. And there's no way you can't pick up on that. And I mean, pick up on that. And I cannot overstate the importance of having parents that instill good virtues and principles and ethics in their children. It transforms their entire lives. So I suppose credit does go to my mom and dad.
Of course. Oh, that's very valid. Okay, for sure. What about like siblings or any older brothers or sisters or type of like guidance as far as like career path? Like, has anyone set the precedent like within your family as far as like what you want to do or?
My father is a chartered accountant, and which is sort of, and he's always been very into economics. So that, I suppose, was easier. I did want to study history at some point. I was very keen on history, but it's very hard to get a job in Nigeria with a history degree.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. You know, for the sake of realism, I was like, okay, I'll just do history on the side thing like a hobby, but you can't really do that. It's a lot more, it's much more complicated than doing it like on the side thing. Anyway, but I decided to go for economics because after discussing it with my dad, I was like, you know what, I can see myself studying econ for 3 years, but I can't see myself studying history for 3 years because I actually like economics properly.
Okay. It always throws me off that it's a science, technically. So you're like, yeah.
It's not really science. It's social science. It's like science. It's a social science. With a twist. It's like, okay, think about it this way. It's like reality show science.
Okay.
Like you have a proper movie and then you have reality TV. Economics is like reality TV. So it's like, it's just raw and so much drama.
Okay, that's a very useful analogy. Okay, got you. So just to wrap up a little bit, could you give us just any of the listeners like any advice, or just reflections about your journey thus far? Like you've dropped some jewels already about, the importance of morals and using what type of power you have in the meantime as a young adult to influence. Any other lessons or advice you would give to people, to young people listening, that are either transitioning to the next stage of their education, kind of like maybe they're figuring out gap year, what would you tell them?
I've got two advice, and one of them is very simple. Eat as much as you want to, but with reason. Lol, I literally said opposite things. Second thing is to look beyond yourselves. So before every action, well, not every, but before most of your big actions, consider someone else apart from yourself. So try to broaden your scope of who is actually going to face the consequences of my actions. Don't just think about, okay, if I do this, I'm the only one that's going to be affected. Look beyond yourselves. Try and see, even though things may not be directly affecting you, just try and educate yourself on why it's affecting other people, like the Black Lives Matter movement, like the Yemen crisis, like climate change. Yes, these things are not knocking on your doorsteps like, oh yes, you're not Black, or you're not actually going through climate change properly because your room is not hot. No, but just elevate your minds. You know, no man is an island. Do something for the human race by just looking beyond yourselves. You don't even have to do anything about it, but you simply just educating yourself about it is enough for you to radiate this sort of sense of humility and togetherness to the victims in itself. So yeah, that's my other advice. It's very deep.
Okay, something to meditate on. Okay, back to the first one. Definitely, yeah, eat.
You gotta eat. Eat properly. Right. Good food.
Okay, no doubt. Can you tell us where we can find you as far as like your YouTube
My YouTube, literally, if you just search Fatima Shitsu, I should come up straight away. I think that's actually a big flex.
Okay.
Right. Because I was like, everyone is always like, so how do I find you? And I'm like, just look it up. And I actually come up and I'm like, oh my God, I'm up? Oh, wow. You can also find me on my Instagram at __Fatima Shitsu. And my Fumilaya Instagram is also at __Fumilaya. And the name of my blog is Fumilaya, but you have to type in fumilaya.zarabadmus.com. That is Zara with a H. So yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for your time again. Much appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Fatima.
Jacob. Bye.
Bye.
Hi guys.